Delighted now to be joined by former Turlough Moor senior hurling manager Joe Hessian and sports journalist from the Irish Examiner, Morris Brosnan, to reflect on yesterday's county final draw between St Thomas's and Loughrea, and they do it all again this Sunday at 1 o'clock in Pier Stadium. Most people's predictions about the game gone out the window after the draw. But Joe, coming to you first. Safe to say, really, yesterday Loughrea and St Thomas has really served up an absolute cracker, you could say.
Yeah, absolutely, Paul. You know, I think going in, we were probably worried about conditions and the weather and stuff like that. But I suppose we had a reasonably dry week last week, bar Saturday, you know, and you'd be worried about the conditions because you knew both teams would want to hurl, looking at them previously in group stages and quarterfinals and semifinals. They were, you know, they would set out their stall to go hurling. And you saw that early doors, the way Loughrea attacked the game, you know. But look, we got a cracker, I thought, you know, and it had everything, you know, it had great scores, great defending, you know, few dubious calls by the referee, stuff like that. But it all added to the occasion, you know. And I think, you know, I think both teams probably when they walked in the dressing room and sat down, probably with a deep breath, probably said, we'd be happy to go again, you know.
Yeah, like Boris, I think everyone was saying during the week, like, about, oh, what if we had this game? And I suppose a month or so earlier, but like for November, like the middle of November, ultimately coming towards the end now, you could say for both teams to serve up a cracker like this is just remarkable.
Unbelievable, yeah. And I think it nearly added to the game in some sense, Paul. You think about like when everything is going against him, Conor Cooney hitting those threes into the wind in the first half, when literally everything else is misfiring, like the pressure that was on him. I don't know if you remember, just before half time, they were 4 points down. He missed the point, and he had another one inside his own half, just under the stand where we were sitting, the main stand. And you're thinking, like, this has to go over, like, you know, it really has to go over. He nails that. Flannery hits a point afterwards, and suddenly they're only 2 points down. The difference that makes going in half time after. What was, you know, Kenneth Burke said it like outright when we asked him after the game. It was a terrible start. Like, they were run ragged. You're watching McManus and Fintan Burke and thinking this man is going to have an absolute field day here today. And Thomas's do what they just consistently do. Like, they grind, grind, grind. They don't let in. They're such an admirable team that whenever it's going against them, they just put the shoulder to the wheel and go to work. And yeah, you'd have to admire Loughrea as well for not to an absolute sickener. You know, you're leading all game and suddenly you can see it's a red card, a goal, and that point, and you're thinking for everything to go wrong. And there was definitely, just looking at the sideline yesterday, they seemed to already have a bit of grievances with a couple of decisions, which we might get into later. But for them to respond the way they did was unbelievable character and courage from a young team. And that's, you know, Tiernan Kelly stepping up the way he did was unbelievable. But I thought they had that character all day. Like, shocking to see for a teenager and the punishment he took. I didn't tie it up now yet for stats wise, but the amount of frees he won was unbelievable. So, yeah, you'd have to give just nothing but credit to both teams, Paul. And I can't wait to see them go at it again now, I have to say.
Joe, Morris mentions their Loughrea's start. McManus probably has to be one of the players of the championship, and the space he gets, but the way he takes the scores, he scores Loughrea's first 3 points to put them 3 points to no score up. And it's not like he's on an average cornerback, he's on Fintan Burke, one of the best band makers in the county.
Yeah, nothing seems to faze him. Like, I seen him in the quarterfinal against our own club, Turlough Moor, and I think he shot five from play that day. You know, he creates that extra little second, you know, where he can get the head up, dissect the post. And I don't think I've seen him hit a wide in the three or four games I've seen him live, you know, so he's very accurate. But even in the second half, he did the damage in the first 3 or 4 minutes. And then probably Thomas has got to grips a small bit with it by clogging the middle of the pitch and putting huge pressure on Loughrea. So they weren't able to get their heads up to find him inside again. But probably when the man was sent off, it probably helped a little bit that they could find him more, because I know he caught one fabulous ball in the second half coming out from his goal, you know, and I think he put it over the bar again. It just, even though he hadn't been in the game massively for maybe 30 minutes, just bits and pieces, he still had the composure to win a dirty ball, put it over the bar. I think he's been fabulous for them. You know, he's, you know, every team needs an inside forward they can go to when they're under pressure. You know, we all like to see the short game and they play the short game through the lines, but in county finals or big games like that, and conditions deteriorating, you've got to have a guy inside that it sticks to. And he's definitely a guy it sticks to, you know. And as I said, he makes that little bit of time and space that a lot of forwards can't do. Aina has it the other side, Aina Burke has it the other side. He just has that class that can, you know, hold up the ball for a split second to give himself the chance to get the shot off, you know. And it was, you know, I thought the two of them were two massive, you know, performances on either side, you know. And I'm sure we'll touch on it again. If either one of those gets closed down in the replay, you know, that could be the winner of the game.
With McManus as well, Joe, like as you mentioned there, like it does really stick with him inside. He's that kind of groovy hurler, but I suppose as well, like he's not a small man, so like he can. When you have height, you have a groovy hurler, and you have an outlet in there. Like it's a huge advantage. Like you imagine now, he's in a goalie conversation.
Oh, you'd have to think so, you know. And I think looking at him physique wise, he could be a guy that Henry Shefflin could actually like to see him go. You know, he's strong, can win his own ball, you know, can score. You know, he's something like you might see down in Kilkenny. You know, he's that type, but he seems to be full of confidence as well. And that, you know, that's what you need as well. You need guys with confidence that are. He took the responsibility early doors. Now the ball into him in the first 4 or 5 minutes was quality. You know, they were getting the ball into him. But as I said, in the second half, when it was a hard ball to win, he's able to win that as well. You know, and you know, he's able to bring guys into the game as well. He sees what's going on around him, you know, and that's key as well, because I think if Larray want to have joy in the replay, they'll probably need to get more runners off the shoulder up front. You know, I think a couple of times they probably could have done more damage, but the likes of him inside, he sees these things happening, you know, and you know, some of the stuff he does is uncoachable. I think he's a natural inside, and you'd love to see him build on it, you know, at least through the league for Galway, if that's what he wants to do. You know, I'd love to see him get in game time and see can we get the best out of him in a Galway jersey.
Victor Manzu replies then, Morris, for Thomas's best score. But like you're thinking then, 6 minutes gone, Loughrea 6-1 up, like dream start for Loughrea.
Absolutely, yeah. But Paul, can I make can I have a word of confidence maybe for Fintan Burke just on what happened at that start of that game? Because I don't know if you were on it, lads, but I don't know if the stream kind of captured it. The amount of space that was in front of McManus for the start of that game was unbelievable. Like, this guy is, we're talking about, as two of you mentioned there, he's a potential intercounty star, definitely intercounty quality anyway. And he's left it an absolutely ocean of space in front of him in that channel. And I don't care how good you are as a defender, with the best will in the world, when you have that amount of space, it's just very difficult to do. And, you know, a remarkable stat about Thomas is, you go back to these last five finals, they haven't conceded a goal. And I think personally, the reason that they haven't conceded a goal is because they have kind of a, what would you call it, a bend don't break mentality, where it's, you know, we'd play you soft. So even if I am kind of a yard or two off you, you would rarely see anyone inside that full back line go ball headed after a ball and miss it and somebody gets in behind. Even that run in the second half, was that Mooney coming in under the stand when he's coming in? And it was very evident that, you know, we'll foul this man, we'll put him down, but we will not let you in and go. Like, it is kind of a, we're willing to concede the point or the free, but we will not concede goals. And I think maybe that was weighing in Fintan's mind maybe at the start of the first half. They definitely had to plug that space, which they got better at as the game went on. But yeah, as you mentioned, Victor gets that point from the far side coming in. I think Thomas has had a real problem with their puck out at the, particularly actually in the first half. Like the first ball, it's very clear what they're trying to do. Like Kelly's trying to hit either wing forward, you're playing into a breeze, and maybe you just want to hang the ball up and let, you know, particularly at Darabak, put his hand up and claim the ball. And Loughrea, in fairness to them, their analysis done, they were cheating. Like, they were dropping off their half forward line straight in on top of flooding that area, so they're winning breaks. So after the first one, I was just looking at this there earlier, first one goes long, they actually win that. The next five balls, it's either right or left, either one of their wing forwards, and they lose every one of them. So Loughrea are just, they're taking that avenue out of the game. It's actually funny, the way they get back into the game is, again, they lose a puck out, but I don't know if you remember it. They lose the puck out, try to swing a ball back inside, and Darragh Burke just managed to intercept it, catches the ball, and sticks it straight over the bar. But it's not from, you know, it's, you're relying on a bit of inaccuracy and you need to think, but what do? They change it up and Conor Cooney drops out the field and then they start lamping ball straight down on top of him. And that was the change, you know, suddenly then they're starting to get win primary possession, get themselves back into the game. And from then on, you know, again, I was kind of expecting after that stage, all right, they've come to terms with this. Eventually we're going to see this, you know, this surge that we're so familiar with St. Thomas's, and Loughrea, to their credit, never really let them get that, to the extent where, you know, we talked about this earlier, Conor Cooney hits that free before half-time, Oisín Flannery hits a point, then that's half-time. And for the next 25 minutes, the only player who scores with Thomas Thomas is Conor Cooney. They actually don't have another score until Aina Burke's goal. But it's Cooney from then on, who's their only scorer. And it's probably the only, like if you're looking at a weak, it's weird to talk about weaknesses when you're talking about a team that's chasing history, Paul. But the only thing when you look at it is that, like they had this weekend, they had five scores for 117. The day, but they lost to you go back to the Turlochmore game, Joe. I think they had four scores that day. Outside of 12 points from Conor Cooney and Annaberg, outside of that day, 2 points. As it happened, it was also Flannery and Manzo that day. You fast forward to a quarterfinal, in fairness, that was good, 9 points. But half of them together from Conor Cooney and Annaberg. You played Sarsfields in the semi-final, they had only six scores, 219. You go on to the weekend again, and it's Conor Cooney and Annaberg. with 113 to four. So outside their 113 of 117, 4 points outside of that. And you look at the best teams, and this, make no mistake, like this Thomas team belong in the best team conversation. You need to have a better set of scorers. You know, if I say to you, Napier, you're going to hold Desi Hutchinson to one goal on Sunday, you'd be saying, Jesus, they're laughing. What happens? Mahoney stands up, Fitzgerald stands up, Sheehan stands up. And that's probably, if I was looking at Thomas next week, it's like there has to be a better way of getting Flannery into the game, getting Manzo into the game. That's one thing. McGlynn, like three balls, you know, you're 6-1 down, you're putting balls into your inside four line, and Hooban and Hansi are sweeping them up and coming straight back out at you. So I think that's one big fix for them, is how do we get those players more into the game? Because that reliance is great. And like Conor Cooney is, to my mind, you know, you look at the last 5 years, he's one of the greatest club players Galway has seen, but he can't have that mantle every single week, because it's very clear now. Oisín Coyle went out to set final whistle and he was targeting him. And despite the fact that, you know, he was well marshalled, he was keeping the freeze ticking over. But that's what our alliance isn't going to... Eventually, I think that will come costly. And I think it's something that Thompson will have to work on for next week.
It's a great point. Boris touches on there, Joe. Like, I suppose you're having them four, maybe, or five players. They're chipping in with the majority of the scores for Thomas's. But I suppose it's still just that way they have. You know that you're champions, because it's so hard to just tie down in three or four players.
Exactly. I go back to 2020 when we played them in the final. We kept Dana scoreless, we kept Dara scoreless, kept Connor scoreless, bar a goal from play. But it was Oisín Flannery that stepped up with 4 points that killed us that day, you know, and we thought we'd all bases covered, but Morris is bang on. They need to get more out of the likes of Oisín in those, you know, and it's, if they do, you know, then, you know, the pressure comes off the likes of Connor and those, because there will be a day where Connor will be held. Like, Connor ended up back in his own half back line in the first half. Now, he was probably right, because he was man marked. And the last thing you want to do is stand centre forward, have a guy marking you and nothing happening around you. So he went looking for ball, and he's such a sweet striker and he's able to deliver quality ball. But I think another big factor in it was because of what happened in the first 5 minutes, I think David Burke went into a defensive mode. So he actually ended up back in the half back line. Now, that's fine normally, if James Regan is playing, because James Regan comes out to midfield and covers for David and allows David then to get on ball when they're going forward to give the quality ball inside. But because David, they were under the cosh so much, David had to sacrifice his own game. Like, I'd say David didn't hit 4 balls in the game, which is so unlike him for the quality. And like, I don't think it was anything special that Lahore did. I think that they were under so much pressure in their half-back line, Thomas's early doors. David just decided, this is where I need to be. This is what I'd sacrifice my game, you know, to help out the defence, and not having James Regan. And he would have picked, like, he's always good for a point or two, especially in the big games. But that was missing. But also his knowledge to get out to the middle of the pitch, because he's played there with David so many times, to cover the ground, maybe to allow David to go back. When David goes forward, he's able to drop back to cover for him. So I do think James missing was a massive factor in maybe more quality ball going inside and maybe they retreated out. And they do retreat out of the pitch an awful lot. Like, if you looked at the lot of balls that were hit to Anna, it was 1v1. You know, it's, and even against Sarsfields, when he was on the Sarsfields backs, it was 1v1. He's brilliant at winning his own ball, bringing it to the ground. But there isn't a lot of support off him, you know. So I would say Thomas's will be looking at that. How can we keep Oisín Flannery in the game more, get him to, because he is accurate, he's paced. Like, the point he got before half time was super. They just need more of that, and especially if they want to win it, because I think, you know, they'll need more than just a point from Connor, or, you know, 1-4 from Inez is deadly on a county final. But Lahore will have their homework done. Their sideline are smart guys. They'll try and, you know, close that down. But then who's going to step up if they do that, you know?
Marsh, just the point you touched on earlier on about Thomas's, I suppose, the space in front of Vintenberg. Did you think maybe Thomas has got sucked out to the middle, or, like, I suppose for people who are watching the stream, because you don't always see that space?
Yeah, partly. I think part of the problem, I think, is that I don't know how much, like, this sounds like a harsh thing to say, I don't know how much trust maybe Thomas's have in their half-back line, in terms of that they're always trying to reinforce that space. So, like, it's just interesting to me, Paul, right? You look, just go back to what I mentioned earlier about the puckouts. Like, despite the fact that it evidently isn't working and Lochray are dropping their half-forward line back, they don't seem to trust anybody in the half-back line. They just poke a quick ball out into that space against the wind, you know? Now, in fairness, even with the wind in the second half, they actually did with Shane, when Shane Cooney was in there. They actually seemed to trust him as well, a bit more to play the ball. So that to me was interesting. At the same time, right, I think, like, I actually give Thomas's, rather than kind of criticize him for that space, I kind of give him credit for the way they adjusted to that in the game. As Joe has outlined very well there in terms of what David Barkley dropping back, which was very noticeable, I have to say, in the ground. You know, like if you were to say it to, at one stage, you're thinking, geez, this is unbelievable, quite in David Barkley. But he also was doing a role, like he was fulfilling a function there as well. And one thing I find kind of interesting, Paul, is on Saturday, right, I was down in, if you'll humor me here for a second, I was in Carlo for, there's a GA analysis seminar that they do in Carlo IT there. And it's if this is Pat's plan's nightmare now, lads, like this is, you know, the geeks are taking over. It's like real proper nerdy stuff. And there's a lot of guys there who might not, you know, media wise, it wouldn't get a lot of coverage, but like this guy there, Sean O'Donnell, who's worked with Limerick, you talk to anybody in the game, this guy is just renowned. Like it's no surprise that, you know, Ballygunner won on Ireland last year. He's their analyst. Limerick are 4 for 5. He's been their analyst. Before that, he was at La Balla and they won the county final, was it 4 years ago. So, you know, it's not a coincidence, basically, is what I'm saying. But Sean was, somebody asked him a question about COVID and how they made use of COVID. And, you know, he was saying, right, they did a load of coding during going back over old footage and pulled it all in and trying to organise all that kind of thing, keep them busy. But the best thing they found from COVID, the absolute best thing for Limerick, was the water break. He said, you know, make no mistake, what that did for us was Trojan. Like we were able to make in-game adjustments, get that quarter, give them, you know, a couple of key performance indicators back, small little targets, and make adjustments mid-game. And one interesting thing that Sean said was that, you know, and I'll have to go back and watch how they did it, but he said within the group this year, they kept on to that quarter mentality, that even though there was no water breaks this year, they were still playing quarter, and giving players feedback, trying to get it. So it'll be interesting, something to watch, maybe what they do during breaks and games, that kind of thing. But it got me thinking, and in the crowd that day anyway, was Mike Gerdy, who's the Thomas's analyst, was up in the stand in the stats box for this game. And you have to, like, and I don't know if it's down to Mike or who it's down to, but the way Thomas's adjusts in games is very impressive. Like, as much as, you know, McManus was lights out at the start of the game, to put, you know, straight away, Matney went on, they made that change early, like grass that net, made that change, fixed up the centre, you know, as Joe mentioned, bringing back David, how they adjusted their puckouts with Conor Cooney. Small little changes like that they make in games that they're very good at doing, despite the fact that everything, like, you know, it looks like they're taking on water all sides and everything's going wrong. And the thing for Lochray, maybe looking forward, is that it's not just about having, you know, one master plan, like, all right, you know, this, we started brightly, now what are we going to do next? Like, how do we kick on? How do we make a change? That's sort of small stuff, small in-game adjustments that you're trying, it's in some ways it's like a game of chess. You're trying to counter-react whatever the way they react to. So as much as that, it was glaring. Don't get me wrong, though. The amount of space in front of them was glaring to set the game. But I was equally impressed by how Thomas has kind of reacted and fixed it.
Totally, Mars. And I think a big part of that is, and the sideline have a huge part to play in it, but it's the experience of David and Connor and even Aina and Dara. They push each other around the pitch. You know, I've seen it firsthand on the line. They get to grips with things so fast. Or if a message goes out on the pitch, they're able to get that message to the players or to the team so quickly. And it's a hard thing to do. And
yeah,
you've all been involved with teams, you've all seen it. But they're intelligent guys, you know, and it was clear they had to do something. And the one big thing they have in every game is work rate. It's no matter how it's going. And like they had to roll up the sleeves yesterday, probably, you know, maybe in a little bit of desperation. But when they did, they notified that ball going inside, that quick ball, because they forced, and you said it, Morris, as well, like young shock as he hit a ball, or Paul, you might have said hit a ball to Dara Burke and put it over the bar. That was from sheer pressure. You know, he hadn't a chance to get his head up right. So he went across the pitch, intercepted over the bar. It's just the work rate levels come up. They forced Lochray back the field. They couldn't get their heads up to find out where McManus was. And the other side of it was they stopped the running game early doors. Now I know Lochray did start the running game probably with 15 minutes to go, and it was a joy for them. But Thomas had never allowed them to breach their midfield or half back line with that running game. And again, I go back to that. I think it was a plan by Thomas to sit David there to have nearly 4 in the half back line that no one is running through us, because Lochray have got goals from doing that, you know. So I'd say Thomas has probably thought, if we keep this point for point, you know, we have the experience and the know-how and the accuracy maybe to win it, you know. But in fairness to Lochray, they found a way to get the running game going, but it took them a long time. And I definitely think the next day they'll be trying to get that up and going a lot quicker. I think they brought the ball into the tackle probably too much, you know, when there should have been a runner off the shoulder, maybe the runner delayed or whatnot. But, you know, I think they'll tweak that as well. But get, like Thomas's are just, you've said it there, they just know how to fix these mistakes. And some teams, it can take half an hour, it can take 40 minutes. They had to do it quick yesterday and they did it fast. They really did.
It's a real key point Joe touches on there about the work rate, Morris. Like even that Dara Burke score where I suppose Loughrea just ultimately give it to him. But just that sheer work rate, like just I suppose the desire to keep going when things are just going against them.
Yeah, it's like it's the, one of the most admirable things for me about this team is that, you know, like you can all your key avenues into a game are everything seems to be going wrong and they just like whatever is going wrong, we just go through the well and go back to what is basic. And you know, there's three young lads in front of me in the stand, like roaring, you know, hook, block, tackle, like young Thomas's lads. And I said, that's been drilled into them when they're, you know, from five up. And it's very evident that that's obviously a philosophy in the club because the way, when everything else is going wrong, like that kind of, that sense of pressure is. And one thing, Paul, like I do think that, you know, the like Thomas, if you want to get dragged into that sort of game, they will mix it with you. And in fairness, I know, you know, as I mentioned earlier, maybe the Loughrea line were a bit frustrated by some of the decisions, particularly in the first half. But the two free takers in this game, like Cleary and Cooney, any of those small little mistakes are going to hurt you. And when I found the game most enjoyable was just after halftime. And it felt like for about 50-minute period, kind of the whistle was swallowed and we just let, and it was like it wasn't the most prolific scoring period of the game, but it was just hell for leather, like absolutely, you know, blow for blow, both teams willing to go and stand and go toe to toe. And that's what made it particularly enjoyable for you know, the stand was getting involved in it. That was what the moment then you start to see these teams like really, you know, willing to lay it all on the line. And that was like, you know, I don't think a game has to be a shootout for it to be a thriller. And for me, that was equally what made this game as good as it was to get that element in the game. And I hate talking about referees. Like I absolutely hate talking about referees, but I do think that's it's hugely important for us enjoyment throughout the game. Because like if it was, you know, blow for blow, tit for tat, and they're whistle all the time, it'll just become a shootout between Cleary and Cooney, which, you know, as I say that now, maybe it doesn't sound like the most worst enjoyable thing in the world because both of them are so good at it. But what made this game beyond that was the other element of it. And that's one thing I hope we get now on Sunday. Like, I hope we let these teams are evidently willing, like, they're willing to lay it all on the line. And I just hope they get the chance to do that.
Like, for Loughrea, Joe, do you think they're 6-1 up, or they're 4 up in the second half late on, I suppose? Then obviously Thomas has reeled them in and gone back in ahead. But do you think they'll look back in them periods when they were ahead, like, because you're thinking of them periods when they were ahead, if they just got another score or two, it could have really been a different story.
Yeah, I felt when they were 6-1 up, I felt if they had got a goal, they probably, Thomas's wouldn't have come back to them because, you know, they were all over them. There was no, Thomas's could get nothing right, couldn't get their finger on it. Nothing was happening, you know, but they ground their way back in. The second half when they went 4 up, you kind of felt, you know, if they get one more, it's too much. But Thomas has got the goal at the right time. They it was just after the fourth point, next thing, goal, you know, then the momentum from a goal, and especially with a team of such experience like that, they knew what to do. The next point came in, it was on fire at that stage, you know. Would Loughrea, like, they probably will, or they probably would have walking in off the pitch, but when they analyse the game and the players watch the video back, you know, that they'd have to be happy with most of what they did. You know, remember they were down to 14 men, you know, to hold Thomas's out, you know, down to 14, they were only 2 up at halftime, playing with the wind, you know, like a young team that they didn't bend, you know, I know they had to get the point to equalize it, but it was a fine score. It was what they'd been doing all year. The man, the best position, got the ball, they worked it through the lines as best they could. You know, there was a runner off, it got inside, popped it over the bar. Of course they will. Like they might sense we had a chance, will we get a second one? You know, but knowing Loughrea and the club they are, and they're a towny club, and they're full of confidence. Not cockiness, but confidence. You know, I don't think these lads would have hung their heads one bit or be disappointed. They're probably happy with certain parts of the game, as I said, but they're probably already, well, if we do this, you know, we have a great chance. I think they'd probably get confidence from being able to do what they did at certain periods and being able to come back and draw it at the end. I think they'll definitely be looking forward to the next day massively.
Just obviously we have referenced descending off a bit, 2 yellow cards from young Darren Shocklessy. Joe, do you feel Loughrea have a case there to maybe feel a bit aggrieved?
I think so. I definitely, the second one, you know, you really have to watch it 2 or 3 times, you know, to see. You know, I think he had the arm up or whatnot, but there was no intent. There was no, for me, I felt, you know, and look at, again, like, you don't really get on about refs, and I know Shane and whatnot, he, you know, brilliant hurler man and wants the game to go, but he has a split second to make a decision. he obviously thought he saw something, you know, and who are we to question him? He's, you know, he's the referee, you know, but yeah, it definitely, of course, like if Lahore would think, or supporters would think, if you had your 15 and you went 4 points up, chances are you might not have been pegged back, you know. But the other side of that thing is as well, the game should have been over after 63 minutes and Lahore hit the equaliser and 64 minutes, you know. So there's give and take, but the sending off was, and especially for a young guy like Darren, is what, he's 18 years of age, you know, and probably it's only the second game I think he would have started this year. He might have started the Kilkenaran group game, came in obviously for young Moran, that young Morgan, and had a few switches around the pitch, and he's a fine hurler. I've had him with the Galway academies. He's a great lad, you know, and real hurler, you know. And he'd have been, made a couple of mistakes during the game, but I think he would benefit from that game massively, you know. And look at the fact there's two yellows, we get to see him again another day, the next day, and that's key for him as well, you know. But you know, of course they'll be feel aggrieved. I think, you know, I think any team that had a man sent off like that would definitely feel aggrieved.
What's you make a decision, Mars?
My initial reaction was I thought it was unbelievably harsh. Like it was a borderline foul with a yellow card. But somebody else, I don't know what else, when I talked about this in commentary, somebody else said to me today that they thought it might have been was he warned for repeated fouling, that he was told he was
going to do as well, yeah. Yeah.
So like, to be honest, if that's true, Paul, there's probably merit to that. Like, regardless of what the foul is, if there is a foul and if you've been warned about it, then maybe, like, maybe you're looking for something on the line, then make a change, or just have to be ultra cautious. So I do still think, I would still maintain that it was very harsh. I was laughing after the game, Tommy, like, we were like, look, he's done an unbelievable job this year. But he said after the game, you know, I didn't see it, but knowing the young lad, I think it was a poor decision, which is an interesting interpretation of it. But yeah, like I thought it was actually, I have to say, Paul, it came at a crucial point in the game, because when they were down to 14, it just naturally happens when you're playing against the wind too. You kind of get sucked back out the field. And that let, like, it just so happened then that Thomas were able to free up Fintan to be a free man, and he was suddenly able to get a lot more ball, and his distribution is very clear as well. So tactically, he had a huge impact on the game as well. And then suddenly the goal comes as well, and you're thinking, this is just an absolute body blow. But to their credit, like, they just, nothing seems to rattle this team. I don't know what it is. Is it the spirit of youth or whatever? But they just, like, the way they worked, I obviously to get the equaliser was particularly impressive, but the way they worked that score, yeah, like, was it clearly who gave the ball to Clean, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, he definitely can't give a stick pass because he's going to be hooked. You've got a man running up the sideline, so you can't give him a hand pass, so he shortens his grip and, like, straight down the middle. There's a lovely short pass straight into his hand. Like, that was, you know, inch perfect. The whole way that score was worked was very impressive. So it was a harsh decision, but the way they responded was admirable.
When it's 18-14, like, you're thinking then, could it be Lockray's time? But Joe, like, you've already praised him on the podcast, Aina Burke, like, he just has that moment of brilliance, and the way he, I think it was Damian McGlynn who plays it across to him, and he just smashes it to the back of the net. It's just buckets of composure.
Totally, and it was the score they needed at the time, because if it had gone, another point had gone over for Lahore, you probably felt it was going to run away from them. But even the pass that Damian gave to him, like, he nearly had to go to ground, because I was watching young Hooban, the fullback, and he chased the referee afterwards because he thought he picked it off the floor because the pass was so low. But it was, you know, he hit it up and in the net whilst the keeper was coming 2 or 3 yards off the line. It was just, you know, it was the right guy in the right place, and, you know, it lifted Thomas's in again. You felt for Lahore at that stage. You said, this is, you know, Thomas is going to finish this out now, you know. But, you know, they still had to get another point to level it. You know, that was the beauty of being four up. The goal didn't put them behind, you know, didn't put Lahore behind or didn't level it. Thomas still had to work to equalise it, but it felt like Aina's, even the touch he brought to himself for the equalising score, you know, and it was, you know, it's these kind of guys win games or do something special, and he's definitely one that does it for them, for Thomas's, you know. But it was a great finish. As I said, he had a lot to do to get it up and into his hand and off the hurl in the space of time while the keeper was coming off the line, but he did it with aplomb.
Ed Morris, it nearly looks like deep into injury time, like Aina Burke, like, I suppose, has won one in quick succession. Then I suppose he scores 1-2 late on. Looks like he's ultimately won the game for Thomas's.
Yeah, it does. And, like, you know, as good as all that scoring was, nearly one of the most impressive skill I saw him pull off was the pass he gave for Dara for his second point, like, straight across. His touch is just unbelievable. Like, you know, he's so, was it Caulfield to give a ball into him in the first half as well? Yes. The arrow into court, like, that, his touch there was phenomenal. He had a man right up his back, and, you know, it just doesn't seem to rattle him at all. And as Joe mentioned earlier to Paul, an unbelievable thing about Aina is that he could be, like, one man band, as in literally he's isolated inside there. He's got no support, so he doesn't have the option of breaking the ball out in front of him to somebody. The ball has to stick, and so there's a lot of pressure that comes with that too as well, and he just seems to be constantly able to step up to it. And then, so you know, like as you mentioned, like McGlynn's hand passes, like the run is brilliant, but the hand pass is on the floor. And my initial reaction when he went down to bend down to pick it up, I said, I should just pull on it. Like that was the first thing in my head when he did it. But to his credit, he just no surprise to anybody, Andy Barkley was better than I do, and he stuck it away.
The video went around then of the equaliser straight after the game, yeah. Joe. It was nearly all over Twitter, but you couldn't write it. Like Neil Carey gets the ball. And like he still has a lot to do to make that perfect pass to Tiernan Killeen and
yeah.
to get it into Tiernan Killeen's hand. And then for Tiernan Killeen, like his first year this year with Galway Seniors, 19 years of age, equalises and sends it to replay, like fairy tale stuff.
Well, there was a lot to do because they obviously had to get the puck out off. And you know, and I think the winners in their half back line, it went to Neil, and he was under pressure. You know, David Burke was around him. He was, you know, anything loose and the ball was probably going to, once it went to floor or went dead, it was going to be over, you know. So getting it into Tiernan was, you know, was a credit in itself for him. Like there was no steps taken. He just caught it, had his shot, you know, his accuracy. And it was a difficult angle. It wasn't easy. He was probably about 5 meters in from the sideline on the terrace side, you know. So to finish it like that was a great score. But it was what the game deserved, I thought. You know, it finished the way the game deserved. It was helter skelter. It was, you know, every team tactics probably went out the window a small bit. You did in the last 5 minutes what you've been doing in training all year. You know, your small sided games, working the ball to a man in a better position, holding possession. You know, running at guys. You know, and it tees it up. Like it's hard to know with the replay, could it be as good? But it definitely tees it up to make it, you know, another enthralling contest in a week's time.
Morris, like as well as Joe mentioned, just on like that score as well, it really wasn't an easy score to take on.
Particularly, Paul, when you think about the fact that like midway through the first half, he's a shot directly in front of the post, and like that was a period. You know, I think Joe mentioned this earlier too, that if they just need to tap on like one more score, like that, they really had the foot in the throat there, and he had kind of a bad wide at that stage, and the turnarounds, like A, to not make a play, you know, given. So just to settle himself, but just to turn and stick the way he did, I just thought it was unbelievably impressive. Tommy said after the game, he thinks a huge element to this team is youth, like in terms of just there's absolutely no fear in them. And to me, that point summed it up perfectly. Like that was, and he mentioned that in relation to like the Hansey and Shocknessy and that. But I thought that moment is distilled it perfect. Like that is what Loughrea have brought this year is a moment like that, which was utterly fearless. And I think. None of us would have been that surprised when it was Tiernan who had to go over it, but just given the context and given how the game had gone, and quickly I thought that first half point as well, it was, you know, unbelievably impressive.
Just there, Marge, you were touching on Tommy Kelly, the Loughrea manager's his point of view. Like Kenneth Burke was interesting when he was talking about towards the end of the game, like that we should have kept onto the ball for longer, we shouldn't have just been driving it inside when we were ahead.
And for people, for me to disagree with Kenneth, but you know, Joe mentioned earlier that what Thomas did to Loughrea to win that ball back, the intensity to turn it over, and like I don't know, was that an option that they chose or was it forced upon them? Like I do think that there was very little going on there, and to me, it's kind of, you know, it's perfectly reasonable that it's the time's up and it's in a county final and you have the ball in your own half back line and your reaction is poke this ball down into the corner and we'll pin them there. Ideally, maybe it goes out of play. And suddenly then, you know, you're pointing at the clock and you're saying, like, this game, time is up here. Like, but maybe it's unfortunate that they didn't strike it dead, but I can fully understand why in that situation you decided to go along. And to be honest, I think rather than criticise what Thomas did there, St. Thomas did there, I think that you praise how Loughrea reacted, how they worked that score. Like, I just, given the conditions, I don't, like, I know what he's saying, you know, in terms of maybe in the heat of battle, you want, like, just that one extra pass or trying, especially when you have that extra man, maybe. But just given the entire the game and the way Loughrea tackle, I can understand how it happens.
Joe, round two between Loughrea and Thomas's this Sunday, 1 o'clock in Pearce Stadium. You're a manager who's experienced the county final in 2020 with Turlough Moore. Like, obviously that can go to replay, but from a management point of view, like, what's this county final experience going to be like?
I think it's huge for Laharaig, especially as we've mentioned, they're such a young team, you know, and they seem to be guys that thrive on confidence, and they're allowed to go and play and express themselves. They have a great running game. They have, you know, super stick passers and stuff like that. I think the experience of the day is going to be huge, you know, and their recovery this week will be hugely important, you know, and like when you sit down, you're trying to, like, I left the lat yesterday and I was saying that Laharaig win the replay, you know, and then you're seeing the weather isn't good for the week, so the pitch is going to be a little bit heavier. You know, Thomas's are Thomas's. So next thing you begin to say, well, Jesus, maybe Laharaig mightn't win this. You know, Thomas's, you know, they're, you know, the old dog. You know, they just know how to do these things. So, you know, I think Thomas's this week, getting recovery in is huge, because it's not that they're a very old team, but there's an awful lot of miles on the clock. You know, like, you got to realize those guys were playing down in Turles last January and February. You know, some of them, five or six of them, straight back in with Galway. You know, a campaign there. Next thing, they're back at club action again in July. You know, so there really hasn't been a break for a lot of them. You know, but in saying that, you know, I still think we haven't seen the best. Obviously, Shane Cooney's just coming back. You know, I think we haven't seen the best of some of them. Like we've mentioned, you know, Oisín Flannery and those like that. I think there's a lot more in them. You know, it's, they need to get it out of them. Some of them, they need probably two or three more guys to step up and bring their A game, because they probably haven't brought it yet, probably all year. You know, like, you go back to the group games, they were impressive against Sarsfields. You know, it was a super game of hurling. You know, then they beat Castlegar, they had two wins. Turok beat them, you know, comprehensively, you know, but they were missing a few key players and stuff like that. But they turned it around against Clare and Bridge, and they've built on that. But I still don't think they're as good as they were last year. Not probably not that they're not as good, but they haven't played as well, you know. So I do believe there is another gear in Thomas's. Whether they can have the week to get it out themselves, I don't know. As for Laharaig, I think they will just blossom from what happened yesterday. I think it'll fill them with confidence. I know they came from behind, but I still think the manner in which they did that and the manner in which they set about their business. And again, both sidelines are very smart. Like, it'll be interesting to see. I think yesterday Thomas has missed Victor Manzo coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Because he likes to come off when the game is opened up. Like, maybe for Thomas's, are you looking at starting Brendan Farrell and maybe bringing on Victor when the game opens up, hits a point or two? I don't think Thomas has got anything like that off the bench, you know, and I think they have done all year, you know, and Victor deserved to start because he came on in the semi-final instead of James and he hit 1-1 or whatever it was. So yeah, in fairness, you had to give him the nod. But I'm just thinking, going for the next day, you know, Brendan's a big man. He's hard to deal with, probably needs a bit more hurling, you know, but he's huge amount of experience, you know. So that could be a key factor, you know, having a guy that come off the bench and hit a goal or hit a point, 2 points, that could be huge. That, it's small things like that. It's the matchups, you know. Will you know, Oisín Coyle did a fabulous job on Conor Cooney, but Conor is still massively influenced the game. I think you're going to have to, you know, allow that to happen. But can Thomas's do more to get David Burke going forward, picking those passes, opening up defences? You know,
do you keep the matchups the same now, or like?
It's hard to argue against them, you know. And even, you know, young Hedge went on Jamie Ryan, like, and he curved that. But I do think Jamie Ryan plays too far from goal. Like, he played in the quarterfinal against Turok and wing forward. Now, in Ballinasloe, which is a smaller pitch, he shot five fantastic points. You know, he's a great striker of the ball. I feel I like what he does, goes back to carry the ball. I just think he goes back a tad bit too far for me, but because I think he's unmarkable when he's going towards goal. You can't catch him, you know, and it's the havoc and the chaos that causes, you know. Young Head did a good job on him out the field, but when he went inside the last 10 minutes, it was a different proposition for Thomas's, you know, to deal with that. And I think the analysis guys will be busy this week trying to find those little tweaks that could put the game in their favour, you know, and that's what it'll come down to. You know, it really will. It'll be small things like that. But for me, for Thomas's, I would definitely be looking at how can we get more out of Victor? Is it coming off the bench? You know, stuff like that. That could be the deciding factor next Sunday.
And Mars, like, the interesting thing when you're thinking of replays, it nearly goes back to, like, Brian Cody's, Kilkenny's teams and replays, the changes they'd make. What sort of changes are going to be made the next day? Like, Joe talks there about Brendan Farrell coming in. Shane Cooney comes in at half time. Will he start? Will any of the injuries be cleared up on either side? Shane Morgan or James Regan be back? Will Lockeray make a change? Like it, and then you're looking at experience versus a lack of fear again.
Yeah, I think Shane Cooney has to start. I think I just think he provides a lot more when he is playing defensively. Kenneth said after the game that Regan is 50-50. I don't know, as a week after not even tugging, like that seems, I'd be very surprised if he's back, I have to say. So I wouldn't anticipate that. I think that's a great call on Farrell, and maybe you get like one interesting just looking at yesterday was maybe, you know, we're all in agreement that these were the two best teams in the county this year, we made to a final, but there wasn't really any bench impact by either team to a grand scheme yesterday, you know, like I'll have to check my match report, but it was Lockeray's first sub in the 58th minute. Is that right? I think they only made three changes.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, that was a surprise to me. I know Shane came on at half time and Farrell came on after that, but even still, like, beyond that, there wasn't a huge impact off the bench. So, as John mentioned there, I think it's a good idea. You know, if you don't have it, maybe you try and manufacture it a small bit. And particularly if, you know, when a game is slightly more ragged, can you imagine, for example, if you flipped it at the weekend and you had brought on Victor with 50 minutes to go when you're a man up, when the game is slightly more open and the damage that he potentially could have done in that situation. So I absolutely see the value in that. Like, as much as I left yesterday and I was saying to myself, like, you know, Lockeray look primed for this.
Yeah.
You go back to, you know, if I were to say it to the two of you before this game on Sunday, listen, McManus is going to score 3 points in the first minute. They're going to be 6-1 up after 10 minutes. Conor Cooney is going to score a point from play. David Burke's going to have one of the most quiet days we've seen of him all year. Like, you would have put the house on Lockeray, and yet despite all of that, Thomas was still able to grind out a draw. And so I think Lockeray will turn up at the exact same level again next Sunday. I've no doubt about it. Like, this team seemed primed that. I think there's a higher ceiling there for St. Thomas's. Like, I do think there is. And that's the kind of frustration for me. So as much as I left yesterday, I still am kind of leaning back towards that idea that until they're best, you can't really back against them. And I just think they have that, whatever it is, kind of that know-how, the way they worked out a lot of stuff when it was all going wrong. I don't think they will be as poor the next day. I think Lockeray will be as good as they were. And and partly, you know, I'm talking myself in riddles here because it's a difficult one to back against Lockeray, but I see Thomas has been better than they were at the weekend. And I think if they are better, they'll probably win.
You've called Thomas's twin, Mars. Joe, who's winning the Tom Callaghan Cup for you?
Again, like Boris, you can flip, you know, an hour ago, it could be a different. But for me, I think two things. I think Lara would have gained massive confidence from yesterday, from going out and performing in a county final. Like, it's grand to get there, but you have to perform as well. And they did for most parts against, you know, the four-time champions, you know, and that's huge, you know, came from behind. I think the Lara management will have a massive say in how this goes next week. I think the tweaks they make, and I don't get me wrong, they are massively smart guys, as are Thomas's, of course they are. But I think, you know, Tommy, I think Gavin, you know, Shane Cusick, you know, Greg, those guys will be looking at ways of, if Lahore crowd the middle again, like they did, or sorry, Thomas's, how can we get through that? Like, to not get your running game going really till the last 10 or 15 minutes, they would be massively disappointed with that aspect of the game. I think, you know, that like what they've done throughout the year, you know, from defense through midfield with their running game has been phenomenal. I think if they can find a way to get that going, you know, and, you know, they turn up, you know, which I believe, like Manus, they will. I can't see them not. I think they're a team full of confidence, you know, not cocky, as I said, they're just full of confidence. They're playing with massive confidence. You know, I definitely think, you know, Lahore, but again, it comes down to it. And this is probably going back and over here, but have Lahore got a defender that can hold Aina, right? And have Thomas has got a defender that can hold McManus. That's the key. If either of those two are held, you know, you're saying what other set of forwards would do the damage? And I think Lahore's forwards could do more damage if McManus was held, rather than Thomas's forwards if Aina's hurt. So for me, reluctantly, I'd give it to Lahore.
Joe, would you start Fintan on McManus again after the way that game started? And if not, would you start him further out the field instead?
I would purposely leave him where he plays full back.
Yeah.
And whoever comes in then, he's got to manage that. I think when you look back at them, they do not concede when he's there. You know, as you said, like, it probably didn't bother him too much that he conceded 3 early points because the net wasn't shaking behind him, you know. And he trusted the lads out the field. You know, he could see David had dropped back in front of him and, you know, they had tightened up the middle and Shane came on. Like, Shane probably hadn't a lot of hurting them, but he just blocked up the middle, you know, to get them back into the game. I would leave him full back. Whoever comes in, you know. I would imagine that Larrail push McManison there again. You know, why not? You know, I think what Thomas will try and do is probably try and curtail that ball in from out the field again. They will, you know, massive work rate. And that's where the game of chess starts. Larrail will look at maybe can we, if we win it on the left-hand side of the pitch, can we switch to the right-hand side where there's less pressure to get the ball inside? You know, and that's, they're the small things that are going to decide the game. I think it's, you know, the composure, the conditions, you know, it's, for me, I would definitely leave Fintan fullback. I think, you know, they do not concede when he's there. They just don't. They're very hard to, and realistically, this time of the year, you probably do need a goal or two, you know, to win the game. Mm. So I think they'll be sticking with him there, definitely. And if whoever comes in, he'll pick up. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's Paul. That's why I was asking that, because I do think, like, as I mentioned, you know, five finals undefeated, five, they're not conceding a goal. And I just, part of me does wonder, I'd say George is right. I think that we might see that matchup again. And, you know, as good as that start was, and don't get me wrong, it was a big avenue, I wonder if McManus gets that ball in his hand in the 22nd minute rather than the second minute, with that amount of space, does he decide to take Fintan on instead of taking the point? Does he, you know, really go at him? And I not that you would absolutely drill, I know, like, we all have, it's been drilled into all of us, like, take your points and your goals to come. But I do think maybe ask the question, like, particularly when you had that amount of space in a moment like that, when you, you know, as good as that start and all it was, just, you know, have a go. That's one thing that maybe a slight change for Loughrea to make in a situation like that now, for example, is that, you know, you're one-on-one in an ocean of space. Just, you know, as we saw in the second half, if the Loughrea do take him on, Thomas aren't against pulling somebody down. So if that was to happen, worst thing, you know, you get him booked and suddenly then he's, you know, he's on edge. So I just think, just ask the question. Like, there was one small little thing that, you know, I'm not saying go gung-ho out here, we're only going to go for goals or anything like that, but just in small little situations like that, maybe be err on the side of a bit more bravery and, you know, putting the head down, taking the guy on and seeing what happens.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I think if you look back to Portumna when they were in their pomp, you know, if Damien Hayes got that ball, you know, or Joe Canning, there's only one place they were going.
Shorter,
you know,
yeah.
If they were 6-1 up, there was nothing to lose, you know, or if they were 3-1 up, they were just, they'll have a go at it. You know, it's early in the game. You know, as you said, the worst thing you could do is you win a free and a booking for the guy you're on, you know. So they'll learn from that too, though. You know, youth is great, but experience is massive too, you know, and you need to gain that.
Yeah, no, it definitely feels like goals are going to be really key in this one. That is all on the show for today. Thanks a million to the lads for coming on.
Thanks.